There are events that will happen on a grand scale in our nation, but we need to be careful about not following the news narrative. Instead, we all need to know how to speak the gospel into the lives of the people among whom we live when we understand the text.
This is When We Understand the Text, a daily Bible study through the Word of God, so that we may know the mind of God. Find all our videos at the website, wwutt.com. Now here's your host, Pastor Gabe.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this time to start the program, I got to remember to do this week.
Okay.
Because I've forgotten to do this the last several weeks.
Oh yeah, did you get your alarm?
I did. The alarm that you set on my phone to remind me that I'm supposed to do this week.
I would
this
have forgotten.
So thank you, Sly, for the package that you sent to us, the evangelism package, which had all kinds of cool little business card size tracks and even larger tracks and some books that were in there. He really sent us like a whole care package of evangelism stuff.
That is awesome.
Evangelism stuff.
How was that again?
Evangelism. And this was several weeks ago that we got this at the church, and I have forgotten to thank him every week.
Aww.
So thank you, Sly.
Yes, thank you.
And we're still getting questions about books. Like, are we still receiving books for our small library at the church?
Yes.
The answer is yes. So send those books in. 1220 West 8th Street, Junction City, Kansas, 66114.
No.
Right? 66441. The whole time I was giving that address, I felt like I was doing something wrong. And it was like what I was about to say was going to be wrong.
Well, there you go. You got it covered somewhere.
It's like my brain knew that I was about to get something wrong here. 66441. That's the zip code. And some have said, you know, what books do you need? Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing that we need, we don't have a lot of yet, are biographies.
Oh, yeah.
So particularly like the biographies that Stephen Lawson has written.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have any of those yet. J.C. Ryle's autobiography. Now, I've got that one. It's right there on my shelf. But
that's not at the church.
That's not at the church. Anyway, some of those church history biographies, those would be pretty good. We've got Bonhoeffer's, the Eric Metaxas book. Yeah, so anyway. Now, somebody said, well, for us to know what kind of books you need, can you put together a wish list on Amazon and then we could just go to Amazon and buy? Yeah, eventually I'll do that.
Yeah.
Whenever.
I don't see you doing that.
As it stands, it took me several weeks to thank Sly for his care package.
Very true.
I just got to remember to get that done. All right. So this is Friday and we respond to questions from listeners on the Friday edition of the broadcast. You can send an email to... You got this wrong. Was it last week or the week before?
Yes.
When
we understand the text at gmail.com.
That's the address. Now you got it.
Sorry, my stomach was growling.
She was doing the WWUTT.
I was.
Which apparently somebody already has that as a Gmail address.
Oh, bummer.
Because we tried to register it. It didn't go. So you have to spell this one out. You actually have to do the whole...
All of it.
The whole acronym, when we understand the text at gmail.com. All right, this question... Oh, actually, first, before we get to the questions, we've got a correction. So last week, I gave a plug for Paul Brooks Horn III. Remember this?
Yes,
okay,
very much.
And his music?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out I gave the wrong website.
Oh, no.
So he said, hey, Pastor Gabe, that didn't go as planned. LOL. Actually, the music website is at youtube.com/PaulHorn3.
Oh, well, that's easier.
The number 3. So, yeah, that's easier to find. youtube.com/PaulHorn3. Paul Horn 3.
PaulHorn number 3.
Right. I can't say evangelism, so I can't get Paul Horn 3 out either. The other site was my graphic and website or web design portfolio that I just took down last week because I'm building a new one. I'm glad you like the music. Lord willing, there will be more to come. Grace and peace in Christ. Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you for your patience with me for not giving you or not giving everybody the right address. So youtube.com/PaulHorn3. And don't forget that our... YouTube channel is youtube.com/WWUTT. If you subscribe, then you'll get a notification as soon as we upload a new video. I've got new videos coming up on social justice, which features a clip from Dr. Vodi Bakum. And then what was the other video I was working on? Entire sanctification, because I just mentioned that in a sermon. So I decided to do a video about it, which is a false doctrine among the Wesleyan, Methodist, and Nazarene denominations. Okay, so addressing entire sanctification, that'll be another video coming up. Anyway, so subscribe to the YouTube channel, and I'm trying to get transcripts from all the videos at our website, wwutt.com, but as was mentioned, I can't even build an Amazon wish list, so whenever we get around to that. This question comes from Austin.
The busy season steps.
It is. Yeah, next week I'm in Atlanta for a fundraiser for a crisis pregnancy center in the Atlanta area.
Yes.
So I'm emceeing that banquet. The week after that, I've got a conference that I'm attending that I'm not even doing anything at. It's just for our, it's the Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptists.
Yes.
So I've got
attending as a pastor.
Though. I'm attending as a pastor, right?
You're doing something.
And I'm voting.
Yes. So, voting is very important.
So I'm doing that. And then later in October,
what video on that?
I've got a speaking engagement. I've got a what video on voting?
Don't you?
Not voting in a... I had the one on voting in like national elections or state and national elections.
Yes.
I took that down.
Oh, you did?
I'm not going to explain why. I'll redo it and put it up again sometime in the near future.
When you get around to that.
When
Amazon.
I get around to that. Right, exactly.
We're going to start a to-do list.
Yeah. Maybe somebody should start a list for me, and then I'll know that I've got to follow this list and get all these things done. So anyway, okay, let's get to the questions here. So my name is Austin from Linden, Washington, and I want to first thank you for your work with what? I have used your videos to help teach my students about the deeper reality of God, and they love it. I want to be able to address with my youth ministry the recent controversies of the NFL kneeling during the national anthem in protest and the greater issues of racism in the country. So my question is, how do I do that? Thanks again. Well, with regards to the kneeling during the national anthem in football games, here's my advice. Totally ignore that. That is one of the silliest controversies.
I agree.
It's going on right now. And this whole kneeling thing really doesn't even have to do with racism or equality or any of these things. Even though people on social media might say that's the reason. The reason why football players were kneeling during football games this past weekend was because Donald Trump said that if a player kneels during the national anthem, he should be fired. He called him a name. I don't think he said a person's name. He just said, you know, fire the guy or something like that. It was just kind of a general thing. If a guy kneels during the national anthem, he should be fired.
Right.
And so all the football players were offended by that. And so then you had this kneeling protest that took place on Sunday, and different players protested in different ways. So it wasn't even the same sort of protesting. There was like with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they didn't even come out on the field at all. So it was not organized. It was just this thing where players were trying to show solidarity with one another, but it was ridiculous because why should anybody give Donald Trump's offhanded comments like that that much credibility? Just ignore the guy and play football. It does not need to be that big of an issue. Now, there were some guys last season and maybe one or two smattering of a few football players this season who were kneeling because, you know, they wanted to draw attention to equal
themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Did I say that out loud?
Anyway, they may have had a specific reason. And of course, it all ties back to Colin Kaepernick and what he was doing last year and all this other kind of thing. But nonetheless, the whole thing in the NFL is so silly that it doesn't deserve our attention. It really does not. These are guys who are multi-million dollar players who have not been treated unequally in any way.
Well, they have. They've been treated very fairly on the other side of things.
Well, there you go. That's
because
right.
Because they're paid so much
so
and get
much money.
So much attention.
Yes. So anyway, with the whole NFL thing, just ignore that. But as regards to the greater issues of racism in the country. Here's my advice on how to address that. Preach the gospel.
Yes.
And I would tell you to look specifically at issues that pertain to your church, in your community, in your area. Don't try to address things that are going on in the whole nation at large, because some of these things are very localized. They're really not nationwide, but the news will make you think that it's nationwide.
Definitely.
Or they will make you think that it's a bigger issue than it actually is.
Right.
So when it comes to prejudice, bigotry, those things do exist in your community. They are there. So find where it's at in your own locale and address that with your students, rather than trying to address the news narrative.
Yes.
Don't be speaking into that. Be speaking into the lives of your students and preach the gospel. Racism is heresy because it is contrary to the understanding that we are one nation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
As Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2. So it's heretical to say that we're actually divided in these ethnic or racial divisions. And so it does need to be spoken into. But the best way to make it applicable and understandable for your students is to look for something that's going on within their vicinity. One of the most common kinds of prejudice that is in the church is a prejudice of class separation. It's not even a prejudice in terms of racism. Now, there are churches where racism and bigotry do abound. And you're if that does happen in your church, God forbid. But that's what you have to address, what's going on specifically in your church. The class separation. Mm-hmm. So class separation is going to be the most common kinds of prejudice. You're talking like middle class looking down on the lower class, upper class looking down on everybody else. You'll have a church
feeling entitled.
Yeah, entitlement, mm-hmm. issues of entitlement, which that's going on in your community.
And on either side of the
divide.
Yes.
Of the classes. So
of
like
the classes.
Middle classes feel entitled, lower class feels entitled.
Yes, because lower class, they expect a handout. Upper class, they expect to be given more.
They expect tax cuts.
Yeah.
Well, something to that. Anyway, so yeah, there's always going to be matters of entitlement, and no matter what class you're talking about. But even within a church that would be your stereotypical like race church, for example, the black church. Or down the street, you got the white church, or you've got the Hispanic church. Mm. Even when you're talking about churches where, for the most part, everybody appears to be one race, even there, you're going to have prejudice. Mm-hmm. Even there is bigotry among the classes, among the social classes, some of the higher classes looking down on the lower classes.
Right.
And so those are issues I think need to be addressed more so than some of the ethnic and racial issues that we see going on in our country, which I think is honestly the bigger distraction from the deeper problems that we have. The nation needs the gospel. Your church needs the gospel, mm-hmm. and your students need the gospel. And so then explain Amen. To them how the gospel is going to be unifying, and there should not be any prejudice or any divide, because it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have become one people. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, that we need to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this is our commonality in this faith. You know, one of the other things that you should be speaking into when it comes to sharing this with your students is teaching them how to rejoice even when they are treated unfairly. Like if they have a truly genuine case for saying, well, this group of people over here is getting privilege and I'm just not receiving that sort of privilege. So what? Praise God. Praise the Lord that you have been given salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What can this world give to you that you do not already have in Christ Jesus? And that's an aspect of this discussion that just simply doesn't get shared. I don't think I've heard any preacher say anything about it yet. when I've listened to one of these pastors talk about social justice issues or whatever, I have not yet heard anybody say, rejoice even in the midst of these hard circumstances and give praise and thanks to God that you have salvation in Jesus Christ. No matter what the world throws at you, no matter what comes your way, even when things just go south and it all gets really, really bad, you know that you are safe and secure in the bonds of grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dr. Bauckham, I've mentioned once already, but I remember him saying there are only two races of man. There is the race of the first Adam, and there is the race of the last Adam. Mm. We are all born of the first Adam. We are born again in the last Adam. And those of us who have been born again by the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, now have to take that message to those who are still the race of the first Adam, so that they would turn from the sinfulness that they have been born into and be born again in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So again, speak the gospel into whatever social situation is going on in your community or elsewhere. Just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to be more unifying than that.
And you can't say it enough.
Right. You never retire from the gospel.
Right.
You're always going to need it. You need its reminders. You need the hope of the gospel. Whether you have been changed by the gospel or you have yet to hear it, everyone needs the gospel. All right, next question comes from Roger. And Roger was actually emailing in regards to an article that I wrote a little more than a week ago about Nabil Qureshi. Mm-hmm. After Nabil passed away, Dr. Michael Brown wrote an article which was published, Charisma Magazine, but there were some other web publications that had it as well. But anyway, Dr. Brown had advice that just simply was not very helpful. He just basically said, we don't know why Nabil died, but we still need to be praying for miraculous healing and not saying, Lord, if it is your will to heal, we need to speak it as though we actually have the power to heal a person by our positive affirmation of faith. It really was not helpful at all. It was not a positive article that he wrote. Mm-hmm. And it was not pastoral. So as a pastor, I speak to that situation in a completely different way. And so that was the blog that I wrote with scriptural references and also correcting some of the things that Dr. Brown said that were incorrect. So Roger emailed and he said, hello, Pastor Hughes. I have been reading your article that you've posted online about the death of Nabil Qureshi, as it seems to be addressed to Dr. Brown, ? I follow him somewhat, and I think that he has said that all of us are going to die someday of something. So why would you join in some ways attacking him for what he wrote? I would like to ask, what is your position at the church you pastor on all the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that some are not for today? Are all spiritual gifts for today or not? Can you show from Scripture where there is not any spiritual gifts for today? And he says that is the point. I guess I kind of missed the reason for that sentence. But anyway, he says, God bless. So when I responded to Roger, I said, I thanked him for reading. I said, my article was not an attack on Dr. Brown. I'm not trying to impugn his character. I'm not trying to make him look bad to anybody else. I think of an attack as an attempt to revile or deliberately tear down another person. And that wasn't the reason for my article at all. It was that Dr. Brown was simply incorrect. He was unhelpful with his article, and he was incorrect in his scriptural application, particularly when he said that we don't have any reason to have to say, Lord, if it is your will to heal, but as though it is God's will to heal, and so we just need to bind it in Jesus' name or rebuke it at the root, is the way that Dr. Brown put it. So I said to Roger that as a pastor, when I write, I think about how I would handle this issue with a member of my own congregation, someone who's lost a loved one as a result of a serious disease. And the words that I wrote in the blog were things that I've said before, whether that was in a counseling sort of a scenario or whether it was preaching from the pulpit. These were not new ideas that I was fleshing out in this blog. This is what I've actually used to encourage somebody who's lost a loved one as a result of a disease. So there's also a necessity as a shepherd to defend my sheep from bad teaching. And Dr. Brown's article just frankly was It was bad teaching. Now, I could share with you what I believe regarding miraculous spiritual gifts, and we've talked about that here on the podcast to some degree. Mm-hmm. Right now in my sermon series, we're going through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Mm-hmm. I've just finished up 13, but we're breaking to do the five solas for the month of October.
Right.
So then when we get done with the five solas, remembering the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, then I jump back into 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to start addressing spiritual gifts there again. So these are matters that I've addressed before. However, I do not think that my opinion or Dr. Brown's opinion of miraculous healing and spiritual gifts is really the issue, because I think it's a distraction from the greater scriptural errors that he committed in that particular article. Nowhere in the Bible is it even suggested that we should pray with an expectation of being answered the way we want to be answered, regardless of the Father's will. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it is God's will to heal us of all of our physical diseases. Isaiah 53:5 does not mean that Christ's atoning sacrifice means that we will be healed of our physical diseases. Isaiah 53:5 is where it says, by his stripes we've been healed. Mm. And Dr. Brown put in that article that our healing is guaranteed by the atonement, according to Isaiah 53:5. That verse does not guarantee that at all. It guarantees that you will be healed of your sin if you ask for Christ's forgiveness.
Right.
And of course, which we'll continue to struggle with while we're in these bodies, but our ultimate healing, whether you're talking about in your soul or in your body, is going to be on the other side when we've been delivered from this life into God's glorious kingdom, where our presently imperfect bodies will be made to be like his glorious body.
Washed white as snow.
Our souls washed clean, the body washed clean. That's a wonderful day to look forward to.
Amen.
Especially when this week I've been struggling with my sciatic nerve issues again.
Yes, and my stomach issues.
And you've had some stomach issues and some sleep issues.
Oh my God.
That's really just the kids, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. Comes with the territory.
Now, I'm sleeping through the first child waking you up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So when does that start?
It depends. Sometimes 6, sometimes 5:30.
Is that the infant?
Sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes? Like, what child is coming in and waking you up?
It's either the infant or the 2-year-old that is yelling from her bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I got you. So Becky is experiencing a weariness from being a mom of 4 children.
It's all right. I'll take it as it comes.
Yes. Yeah, there's still great joys even in being woken up by your children in the morning.
Yes. There's extra cuddling all day long.
Aw.
Yeah, that makes it worth it.
You're not in that state of mind by the time I get up, though.
Nope.
Yeah. The patience is already gone. It's worth it. Yes. So I'm guessing the good mood is all at breakfast, and I've kind of missed that by the time I'm waking up.
Or after I've gotten over the fact of...
your coffee's worn off.
Yes.
You should just go ahead and get another cup and be ready to go there.
But, oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so I singled out 3 issues right there. Dr. Brown's suggestion that we should pray regardless of the Father's will, that God's will is for us to be healed of all of our physical diseases, even while we live in this body, in this life. And Isaiah 53:5, meaning that by the atonement, we will be healed of our physical diseases. So Dr. Brown's positions on those 3 issues are wrong, no matter where one stands on the miraculous gifts. It doesn't matter what your opinion is, whether you're a continuationist or a cessationist. His speaking about those issues in that article were incorrect. And he's setting people up for a great disappointment. By his own admission, most believers, not simply all people, but specifically Christians, mm-hmm. by his own admission, will not be healed of their serious ailments. Yet we should pray as though God will heal them, even rebuking the sickness at the root? Where is that in the Bible? And when I interacted with Dr. Brown on Twitter, he didn't respond with scripture at all. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and he can't say after years of study, here's what I've concluded, and we're all just supposed to nod our heads in agreement. So it sounds to me like Dr. Brown is more concerned about his charismatic paradigm than he is about shepherding the sheep. And so my concern as a pastor is how I shepherd my congregation through issues like this. Mm-hmm. When somebody dies, when healing has been prayed for and it's not granted, how do we understand this? Dr. Brown had no answer, but the answer that I gave in the blog is healing is coming and it will be on the other side.
Right.
Sometimes God heals on this side of heaven. Sometimes he does. I believe that. And I pray according to the way that the Bible says that you should pray
right.
for healing.
Because he's not on the same timeline as us.
God is not.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It sees things from the eternal perspective and we exist on this linear plane.
Right.
So we cannot discern the end from the beginning. But God knows all things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he will grant healing and praise be to his glorious name when he does. And sometimes he doesn't grant healing. And praise be to his glorious name when he doesn't.
Amen.
Knowing that our hope is not even in this world anyway. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 that those heroes of the faith were not looking forward to some sort of reward that they were going to get in this lifetime.
Right.
But they were looking toward a heavenly kingdom. And that's what we likewise should be looking toward. So when it comes to shepherding the sheep, I cannot use the words that Dr. Brown used. And I don't recommend that anyone does. But instead, we should go with what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for healing, but praise God when he doesn't give it to us even. Because as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, when God would not take his thorn from his flesh,
mm-hmm.
God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And right. so Paul said, therefore, I will rejoice all the more in my hardships.
Right.
For where I am weak, there he is strong.
Which is something I'm working on. No. Don't get me wrong. We are very, very grateful. We have four beautiful children.
We are spoiled as parents with four great kids. Love our kids tremendously. And everybody else loves our kids. And just sees adorableness every time they see our children. Those of you who follow us on Twitter and we post pictures of our kids, you probably know exactly what we're talking about. So anyway, let me leave with this thought. Oh, go ahead.
Hold on. Okay, so I wanted to tie it back to the first thing that you were, the first question you were answering.
Okay.
The reason why Gabe addresses these particular people are because people in our flock have questioned about them.
Or, yes, right.
Or have followed so-and-so or... And so it's not just, you know, picking out just anybody.
Just any teacher.
Right. That's not the purpose.
Right.
The purpose is for the people in our congregation to read that and know that that's
right.
Answer those questions.
Yeah. So we do have people who will follow mm-hmm. Dr. Brown or they'll listen to his radio program.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people come into our church that have been heavily influenced by the International House of Prayer.
Very much.
Because that's just 2 hours down the road from us.
Right.
And because of their proximity to IHOP, they've therefore also been influenced by Todd White and Bethel Church.
Right.
Bill Johnson. And so whenever I address these issues, it is, like Becky said, it's because it came up in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sometimes even with questions related to this, I hope you're also asking your pastor.
Amen.
Not just for that personalness between you and your pastor, but you're also giving your pastor an opportunity to shepherd you.
Right.
With answers to your theological questions that you are asking. So I hope even with some of these things, you're giving him that opportunity to know what is on your heart. And even so, he as a shepherd will know how he can defend you from right. the wolves.
Right.
That's always that's one of the responsibilities for a pastor.
And you don't know what you don't know.
That's true. So. If you haven't let him know, he doesn't know.
Exactly. Assume he knows.
Right. The church congregants that are like, why didn't you come visit me this week? I didn't know I was supposed to come visit you this week. So, yeah.
Yes.
So be in good communication with one another.
Please.
That's definitely
helpful.
All right.
With October coming up. And that Pastor's Month or something?
Oh, yeah, Pastor's Appreciation Month.
Yeah.
There was somebody at church, actually just Wednesday night, that uh-huh. said that to me. Hey, we just got a letter that said October's coming up, Pastor Appreciation Month. I kind of made a face. I was like, Pastor Appreciation Month. And they kind of looked at me funny.
And I'm telling you, people are gift givers. Stop it.
Well, I said, I think they thought I was like making a comment about how I don't feel appreciated or something.
So
I said, I feel like I'm appreciated every day. So yeah, I don't even need a pastor appreciation month. I've got a wonderful church congregation, takes good care of us, of our family.
Amen.
Great friends. Definitely. We have them over at our house. We go to their houses. It's been a blessing. This has been my first pastorate. And God willing, I mean, I'll stay here for as long as he wants me to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a wonderful experience. So 7 years now at First Southern Baptist Church in Junction City.
That's right.
And it's been a wonderful ministry to grow and evangelize here in this community. Pray for our community, too. We're heavily influenced by Oneness Pentecostalism. That's probably the most influential religious practice in our community. And I'm beginning to realize little by little, more and more, how much I'm going to need to start speaking into that more than I have been.
What is Oneness Pentecostalism?
So Faith Tabernacle.
Okay.
So they deny that God is Trinity.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then, of course, there's the Pentecostal aspect in which you even have to speak in tongues in order to prove that you're saved.
Right.
If you've never spoken in tongues before, then you don't actually have the Holy Spirit. Or if they don't apply it in the sense of you have to speak in tongues to prove that you're saved, they at least say that you have to speak in tongues to receive like the second level gifting of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not Faith Tabernacle. I think they actually say you have to speak in tongues. You also have to be baptized at their church. And if you're not baptized at their church, you're not actually saved. Oh. This is a serious cult in our community. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So they've also been sending out some spies recently.
Yes.
Might even be listening to my podcast.
They could.
So
hello.
Repent.
We hope that you hear the gospel.
Yes. Amen. All right. I was going to say something earlier, but now I totally forgot what the...
You're going to end on this note?
Oh, yes.
Do with this.
Thanks. Thought. I know what it was now.
Anytime.
Sorry, I didn't mean to snap at you.
No, you're fine. Snapping. How rude.
Literally snapping. I was snapping my fingers.
Etiquette.
Yeah. My wife and I have never shouted at each other.
Never.
That has never happened. God willing, it won't.
Well, only if you're in the other room.
Oh, yeah, right. Babe, come kill a spider.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done that one.
I have also text you screaming. Spider, come save me. Baby's sleeping. I can't scream.
Hear me yelling silently right now. Come kill the spider. All right. So what I was going to tie this back into.
Yes.
Was in second.
What was that again?
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talked about the hardships that they were going through, the persecutions that they were facing as they were sharing the gospel. And he says that we felt like we had received a sentence of death, but this was to make us rely more upon him who raises the dead. So in any and all questions that you have and any uncertainties of this life, even the question of asking God, where are you in this or why would you allow this to happen?
Right.
Rely upon him for everything and know he raises the dead. So yes, what do does. You have to fear of anything in this life?
It's so true.
Let's pray.
Let's.
And we'll be done. Our Lord God, we thank you for our time together, and we thank you for time we're able to spend in your word and understand your mind based on what you have given to your prophets and your apostles in the Bible. And as we're entering into this weekend with the 1st of October coming upon us, and no doubt many churches are going to be talking about the Protestant Reformation, may we not just think about the things that you've done in the church in the past, but even the need for reformation in the present, a desperate need for the church to turn back to the sound teaching of the Word of God, of understanding the basic tenets of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And this is all to the glory of God alone. The scripture is our sole authority in all matters of faith and practice, and in all measure of life. And so may we submit to the authority of this word and desire to hear it preached in our churches from the pulpit. May we apply it to every aspect of our lives and also share it with others when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has the power to rescue a person from death and give them eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. closer to me, so I
get a little closer. With Air It Extra Dry. You don't remember those commercials?
Not that one, no.
Whatever happened to jingles? There's, nobody loves a good jingle anymore.
I love aches from my head down to my legs.
That was a jingle?
Oh, yeah.
For eggs?
Yeah. Because they had that time when they said, don't eat eggs because they're bad for you and it'll make your cholesterol or something go shoot through the roof or blah blah blah, blah. Right. And then they did the research a little bit, like maybe 5 years later, and then they started really promoting eggs because everybody quit eating them.
I think they just looked at a different batch of research.
Uh-huh.
And then they were
that
trying
could
to
have been it too.
Yeah, trying to bring back up their uh-huh. image.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It was bad, so they started with I love eggs.
I remember the incredible edible egg.
Uh-huh. The incredible edible egg. Doo, doo, doo.
I forgot there was a jingle to that. And wasn't the refrigerator raider? Didn't that have to do with eggs?
Refrigerator raider.
Yeah.
No.
I thought that was an egg ad.
Well, maybe. I don't remember.
Refrigerator raider. Which I didn't see many times.
That was just a fridge.
I don't know.
Commercial. No.
Because I remember the animation to the incredible edible egg and the refrigerator raider being the same. That's why I thought it was the.
I don't know. I don't remember. Egg. I just remember refrigerator raider.
Yeah. I like those. Those are good.
Yeah, that's fun.